Again, I'd like you to open your Bible with me at 1 Timothy chapter 1 and the verses that we read together, in particular, the verse 15, where the Apostle Paul says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." The title that I want to put upon this message this evening is simply this: The Sum and the Substance of the Gospel. Because when you look into that verse 15, that's exactly what you have: the sum and the substance of the gospel. You know, the world in which you and I live tonight, though it is a sinful world, yet it has been a world that has been blessed, particularly with many great gospel preachers. But apart from the Lord Jesus Christ himself, then the Apostle Paul must have been, without doubt, the world's greatest preacher. From the moment of his conversion on the side of the Damascus Road to his demise in a Roman prison cell, he fearlessly, powerfully, unashamedly proclaimed the gospel of Christ. He says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." As we intimated this morning, he told the Corinthians, he said, "I want to know nothing among you save Christ and him crucified." On another occasion, he said, "Woe is me if I preach not the gospel." Little wonder, therefore, when we come to his letters and epistles, that we find they are filled with great gospel texts. Texts that challenge our hearts in relation to our need of God's forgiveness and his salvation. He makes the good news of the gospel crystal clear that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And because Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, that leaves every individual without excuse. And as Paul himself said in Romans 3:19, all the world, therefore, is guilty before God. Therefore, there was a time in our lives when we were without God and we were without excuse. And my friend, if you're in this meeting out of Christ, then you also are without excuse, for this reason: that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. You are a sinner and I am a sinner. But Jesus said, "I did not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance." This is a faithful saying. Worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That is the sum and the substance of the gospel. Now, as we look at our text tonight, there's four simple things that I want to bring briefly to you. First of all, we have a text here to be repeated. This is a message that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners that must be told and told and told again. This is a faithful saying. It means it is a true saying that Christ Jesus came into the world. My friend, you can stake your life, you can stake your eternity upon what is recorded in that text of Scripture. This is a faithful saying. We have many sayings in the world tonight, and we use many of them on a daily basis. For example, we have a saying that is often repeated, that birds of a feather flock together. That is a saying. It's been handed down from generation to generation. And it is not only a saying in our culture, but it is a saying in every culture. And it simply means that people of the same interest, generally, they will find each other. There's a multitude of sayings that are repeated every day. We sometimes say that a stitch in time saves nine, simply meaning that if there is an issue, if there is a problem, then deal with it, because it will get out of control and it will be impossible to deal with it. Everything to do about the weather, everything to do with company, everything to do with conditions, we have sayings. Now, a saying is something that is said again and again and again. people of every class, people of every color, people of every creed. They say them on a regular basis. Now, some of those sayings are true, and some of those sayings are not true, and some of those sayings are only true under certain circumstances. But this saying, which Paul speaks about, a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, that, my friend, is a true saying. No matter who the person is, no matter what their individual circumstances are, this saying is true. It is true tonight. It was true yesterday. It'll be true tomorrow. It's always true that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Children can say it, it's true. Adults can say it, it is true. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Everybody should accept that truth, should believe that truth, should receive that truth, and that Christ into your heart, because it has transforming power. Way back in the 1500s, there was a great theologian by the name of Erasmus, a most intellectual genius in the church of that day, a mighty theologian at the time of the Reformation. Luther met with Erasmus on different occasions, and Erasmus declared that Luther was right in his theology, that the just shall live by faith. Now, sadly, Erasmus never took the stand that Luther took, and sadly, he never left the Church of Rome. But he came to Oxford, that great seat of learning, to give a lecture, and the whole country was talking about the great Erasmus and his coming to the university. The place was packed to capacity. There wasn't a seat available. And a professor of the college made sure that he had got himself a seat because he wanted to hear the great Erasmus speak. Now, Erasmus had just completed his translation of the New Testament scriptures. Erasmus listened carefully. When the lecture was over, though he himself was in a seat right up against the wall, he pushed past the people to make sure he was at the aisle. When the great Erasmus walked down the aisle, and he put out his hand to shake the hand of Erasmus, and he asked him for a copy of the New Testament scriptures. His name was Thomas Bilney. And because of his small stature, he was never referred to in Oxford University as Thomas Bilney. He was always referred to as Little Bilney. And that night, the great Erasmus gave him a copy of the New Testament scriptures. He hurried home, couldn't wait till he would get it open. And so he entered his home and took off his coat and sat down and opened the New Testament just at random, and it fell open at 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am a chief. And God used that text of scripture, put it deep into the heart of Little Bilney, so much so that there and then, with a copy of the New Testament scriptures, that text opened before him, God wonderfully saved his soul. His life was changed. What he said was this after his conversion. It was as if someone had turned on a light in the darkness. The truth of that verse had dawned in my heart, and Christ came personally to save me. Sometime after that visit of Erasmus to the college, the next great speaker to give a lecture was Hugh Latimer. And again, there was great excitement about his coming, and again the place was packed to capacity, and again Little Bilney made sure that he was in early and got a seat to hear the great Hugh Latimer. And as Hugh Latimer, the priest, spoke, Bilney said in his heart, if only that man could discover the truth that I have discovered and experience a new birth that I have experienced, then that man could shake England, he could enlighten the world. And when his lecture was over, and Hugh Latimer, the priest, was walking down the aisle, again, little Bilney pushed himself out to the end seat at the aisle. And as Latimer passed by, he put out his hand to shake his hand. And he pushed into Latimer's hand his copy of the New Testament scriptures. Latimer put it in his bag, went home. After some time, he remembered that somebody had given him a book. And he opened the book. And he opened the book at random. And it fell open at 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And through that verse, that night, the great Hugh Latimer was converted to Christ. Latimer, his message changed immediately, and from that moment he started to preach Christ as the only hope and way to heaven. And before very long, he was asked to speak before the king. And when he went in to speak before the king, he took as his text this verse that we're looking at tonight, the verse through which he was converted. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Sometime after that, the government changed. Mary came to the throne known as Bloody Mary. She despised the gospel, with the result that she had rounded up every converted priest and every preacher of the gospel, and she demanded that they be burned at the stake. When the fires were lit around Hugh Latimer, that were going to burn him to death, he cried out at the top of his voice, "When you burn my body, you will light a light in England that will never go out." And they burned Latimer to death. But the gospel that he had discovered through this text of scripture swept across England until the great revivals came through George Whitefield and the Wesleys. They destroyed the messenger, but they couldn't destroy his message, because it's a faithful saying, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's a text that needs to be repeated. It was a true saying. It changed the life of Bilney. It saved the life of Latimer. My friend, if you will believe it and receive it, it will change your life tonight. Because it's a true saying. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. But not only is that a text to be repeated, but then there's a truth here to be remembered. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That was Christ's purpose in coming. Not to live a good life, and he did not. Not to set a good example, and he did that. But he came into this world for this one purpose, to seek and to save that which was lost, to give his life a ransom for many, to die the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Paul experienced that mighty transaction on the Damascus Road. Nicodemus, Zacchaeus, and so many others experienced it. And my friend, you can experience that tonight if you're not saved. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That truth was the message of his birth. Because in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, and verse 21, we read that the angel said unto Joseph, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus," and that name Jesus means Savior, "for he shall save his people from their sin." There that day, God, in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, came into the world to save sinners. There was no other purpose in his coming. My friend, it was for your salvation and for my salvation. Had we been the only people ever born in the history of humanity, for that purpose Christ would have stepped out of glory and unto this earth to go to the cross, lay down his life and shed his blood, the ransom price of our sin. That was the message of his birth. You see, there was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He alone could unlock the gates of heaven and let us in, because heaven was barred to us. Hell was open to embrace us. But Christ Jesus came to save us. Therefore, it shows the value of your life. That God in Christ would abandon heaven to be the Savior of sinners. But it was not only the message of his birth, that was also the message of his death. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. My friend, Jesus didn't die just to help us. He died to save us. Now, down in the prison, there is a multitude of rehabilitation programs, and they are good to a certain degree, but they are not good enough, because men's lives need to be changed and transformed, and that by the power of the gospel. And the message of Christ's death was this, that he came into the world to save sinners. That necessitated him going to the cross, being wounded for our transgressions, being bruised for our iniquities, being crushed under the rod of divine wrath for you and for me. And we read in Hebrews chapter 7 and the verse 25, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost." And sometimes, you know, people put a spin on that, and there's nothing wrong with it. He's able to save to the uttermost from the guttermost, but the word uttermost means forever. He is able to save forever. Those who come unto him. But you know, friend, as you and I view Calvary, we'll never understand it, and we'll never take it in, what it meant for him, the Holy One, to bear away our sin. The hymn writer says, and rightly so, that none of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, or how dark was the night that the Lord passed through ere he found the sheep that was lost. Another hymn writer puts it this way and says, "Hark, I hear the dull blow of a hammer swung low. They are nailing my Lord to the tree." And yet tonight, in spite of all that, Christ Jesus coming into the world to save sinners, necessitating him going out to Calvary's cross and laying down his life, people very cheaply and lightly auction their soul to the devil and sell it to the caverns of hell. God valued it at such a price, he gave the darling of his bosom to the hounds of hell for your redemption and for mine. Over in London, you, I'm sure, will know there is a particular place called Speaker's Corner. Always wanted to go there, always wanted to say something there, to say I have said it there. And if you go there on a Sabbath evening, you will find a multitude of people, and they're all trying to get their own message out. And there was a particular street orator, and he was speaking one night at Speaker's Corner. He was a socialist. And he was crying out at the top of his voice that socialism can put a new coat on any man. And some Christians shouted out, but Christ can do better than that. He can put a new man in the coat. That's why Christ Jesus came into the world, to save sinners. The big question is, folks, are you saved? Not only is it a message that must be repeated here, but a tragedy to be regretted here. Because the apostle says, it's a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now the good news was this, that Christ can save the chiefest of sinners. Paul said, I was the chief of sinners. Now, what is he saying there? There are many ways we can look at that word chief. But we have to conclude that a chief is a leader. What is the Apostle Paul saying? That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am a leader. Now listen, folks. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that there's not a righteous man upon the earth, that all have sinned, that from the womb we go astray speaking lies. And yet, when you study the scriptures, there's a difference in sinners. You see, some are sinners of influence. Some are sinners of no influence. And Saul of Tarsus was a sinner of influence. You see, there are sinners in the world, and they are people of no influence. They do not encourage anyone else to sin with them. They just carry on sinning themselves. But then there are sinners of influence. They're not only content to go to hell themselves, they want to take everybody else to hell with them. And you'll read that sad story in Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, of King Herod and Herodias. Now, King Herod was living with Herodias, who was his brother Philip's wife. And when they were living in this sinful relationship, John the Baptist said, it's not lawful to live like this. And the Bible says she would have killed John the Baptist. She so hated that message. But Herod liked John. And he heard John. And the Bible says in Mark's Gospel chapter 6 that he heard John and did many things because of him. And there is the evidence there that to some degree Herod actually reformed his life. But he never yielded to the Christ that John preached. And when John was cast into prison, and Herodias' daughter danced before the monarch, and the monarch liked her, and no doubt she could sway and use her body in such a way that would appeal to the sinful appetites of sinful men. And the king liked her. He said, whatever you ask, I'll give it. And she went to her mother and said, what shall I ask? And she said, the head of John. And the king would not reject her. And the day that Herod yielded to Herodias, consented to her request, beheaded John the Baptist, heaven went silent to his soul. It was all over. He was now outside the peal of redemption. It didn't matter who prayed. It didn't matter who pleaded. It didn't matter who witnessed to him. He had committed this sin of which there was no pardon. And how we know that is this. That when Jesus appeared, people didn't know who Jesus was. Some said he's Elijah. Others said he's an Old Testament prophet. But when Herod heard of it, he didn't say that. He said it's John, whom I beheaded. He's risen from the dead. Conscience. And then we read that he wanted to meet Christ. He wanted to see some miracle wrought with him. And when Pilate heard that Jesus was of Herod's jurisdiction, he passed Jesus off to Herod. And Jesus comes in before Herod. Herod starts talking, and Jesus answered him not a word. Why? Why did Jesus not speak to that man? It was because that anything he had to say, he said it through John the Baptist. And when Herod sealed John's death, he sold his soul to hell forever. You see, Herodias wasn't content to go to hell. She had to take Herod with her. A sinner of influence. Paul said that he was a big sinner. He was the chief of sinners. He was a leader of sinners because in verse 13 he says, he was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. And that word injurious means dangerous. It wasn't the type of person you'd want to meet. And of course, he had made havoc of the church, the Bible says. If he found any people of the way, because Christians were called people of the way in those days, and if he found any of that way, he would bring them before the magistrates and courts. He would conjure up false charges against them. He would see them cast into prison, some of them put to death, and others fleeing abroad for their lives. That's who influential he was. But he realized this wonderful truth that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Not just church-going sinners. But sinners, whoever they are, wherever they are, irrespective of what they've done or have not done, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And Paul says, I was the chief of sinners. Yet he saved me. I doubt if anyone in this meeting would have sinned as Saul of Tarsus would have sinned. But then the Bible tells us, and we must remember this, that all have sinned. Sin brings God's condemnation, it brings God's wrath, it brings God's hell. But Christ Jesus came to save sinners. And it doesn't matter what the past has been. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses from all sin. And just one last thought. There's not only a text to be repeated here, a truth to be remembered, a tragedy to be regretted, but a testimony to rejoice in. Because the great Apostle Paul, or the great Saul of Tarsus, was wonderfully converted to Christ at the pinnacle of his godless career on the side of the Damascus Road. Now, people are saved in different places. Many people are saved in church. Many people are saved at home. Many people are saved at their bedside. Lydia was saved at the riverside. Paul was saved at the roadside. The big question is, my friend, where were you saved? Are you saved? You may forget the day or the date, but you'll never forget the transaction. And here, Paul, at the height of his sad, sinful career, the gospel triumphs in his heart, and he is brought savingly to the Savior. Now, listen, that was a sudden conversion. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 3, the Bible says, "And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly..." Now, when he left to go to Damascus, he had no thought of God. He was going to persecute Christians. Always take encouragement with this. Maybe there's a Christian parent here, and you have loved ones out of Christ, and they seem to show no interest. Remember this, that Saul was suddenly converted. They can suddenly be converted. Many a person went into a church service just because they were invited to go in, because they always went in. But then suddenly one night, they were converted. The good news of the gospel is this, friend, you can be converted tonight. It was not only a sudden conversion, but it was a sure conversion. Because it was just not the moment of excited emotions. But in Acts chapter 26 and the verse 22, the Apostle Paul, testifying before the monarch of the day, said this, "Having obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great." The good news of the gospel is this, that God saves us not just for time, but for all eternity. Because in John 10, 28 and 29, he says this, "And I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Now, someone might say, but what about the devil? Well, what about the devil? He cannot pluck you out of God's hand. Because, folks, in John 10, 28 and 29, you will find the word man is written in different letters than the rest. We call it italics. Written for a purpose. And any word you see written in italics, that is indicating that it was not in the original text, but it's put there by the translators that we would more easily understand it. And what the text on the original reads is this, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand." Friend, you give your life to God tonight, and God will make you as safe and as sure as if you were in heaven. Such is his salvation. You could walk out this door this night, redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, and sure beyond the shadow of all doubt. But the Bible says these things are written that you might know that you have eternal life. Paul wrote to Timothy, and he said this, "I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." That is the sweet salvation that God offers you in Christ this evening. A faithful saying that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Paul says, "Of whom I am chief." And if Paul could be saved, my friend, you can be saved. You can be sure. It was D.L. Moody, the great American evangelist, who said, "Give your life to God, for he can do far more with it than you ever can." Friend, give your life to God.